That was a classic introduction, so thank you very much. The origins of the sponsorship of this Shulchan and Chizuk are as a Hakaras HaTov for this particular people and really all of the Talmidim who honored me with the Levi Aliyah in Parsha Zachor. Special cholent goes to the people who were involved in the milk cart and other such things. It was really, I have to say, I might have been the only person in the base manager who didn't know a minute before that I was getting Levi. So I was actually shocked by that. And then with the get up and then the milk cart, it's a miracle I was actually able to get the Aliyah out. So in all seriousness, no, I was very touched. I'm not sure, maybe it's better, it should be anonymous, it's a chevrati thing. I'm not sure whose initiative it was. I certainly don't know everyone who participated, but my thanks go to all of you. Pretty much, other than that introduction, I've been made to feel very welcome here.
I'm just kidding.
And I really do appreciate it, and this is a small token of my appreciation. So thank you very, very much in general, and certainly for the Aliyah, the Shanabet guys, and the Shanalf guys who participated. We're coming to the end of a Zman, a long, long Zman. And I thought, given the guidelines, I know there's no Musar, but a little Chizuk is certainly warranted and perhaps necessary. There's always important to have Chizuk when you go into a Bein HaZmanim. And even though we're almost at the end of the Zman, we still have a few days left. And I know it's not just me who feels like he's running on fumes at some point the last few days. So I think we could all use some chizuk for the next few days and certainly for the rest of the month. So two brief thoughts connected to a single pasuk in this week's parsha. And I'll introduce it with a story that I heard from a friend of mine who's a Rav, who actually grew up in the Boston area. And he told me, this must have been about 40 plus years ago when he was a kid, he remembers davening in the Maimonides minyan, and he overheard somebody, one of the adults in the room, go over to Rav Soloveitchik, who was then a very old man, but was still functioning well enough to be in shul, and he asked him, Shabbos morning, Parshas Tazria, how come we no longer have tzas? And he said, this friend of mine, who even at a young age had the sense that Rav Soloveitchik knew everything, that he was amazed, as were the people around him, Rav Soloveitchik was just silent. And he had no idea. Over time, I don't remember if he said he got this on his own or Rav Soloveitchik eventually mentioned this, he noted that the Tiferes Yisrael, in his commentary to the Mishnayos, actually says, and he's speaking 100 plus years before Rav Soloveitchik, that miyamai, I always didn't understand what had happened to Tzaras. And the Tiferes Yisrael says that in my childhood, I asked Rabbi Kiva Eger the same question. And he also didn't know. So if the greatest minds of the last 200 years didn't know, certainly highlights one of the many things which I think make the whole phenomenon of Tzaras quite mysterious. So not as dramatic as that fundamental question of what happened to Tzara'as, but in a more detailed, subtle way, there's something that's a little bit mysterious and has caught the eye of many Mefarshim in one of the psukim that describes the phenomenon of getting Tzara'as and trying to go through the Tahara process. The Torah tells us, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Bet, Adam ki yeh be'or b'saros, or sapachat, or baheret. He has one of the different negayim. There's no really other translation for the word. One other negayim that potentially could be tzara'as. So what does he do? V'huva el Aaron a kohen, brought to Aaron or one of his children, the kohanim, and they examine to see if this is in fact tzara'as or not. So the word which gets everyone's attention or many mafarshim's attention is the opening word, Adam. There's a tradition, the Hamegdavar and others quote from the Zohar or other sources, that of all of the different terms that Tanakh can use for man, capital M, Adam is the most mechubad. It is man at his highest level. Well, if that's the case, the Mefarshim ask, how could it be, of all contexts, the word Adam is used describing a person who has tzara'as. We know there's different categories of tumah. Tumas tzara'as is one of the categories. But unlike the others, in which a person may have been completely innocuous, he's in a room and all of a sudden there's a dead body, or a woman who's a nida, right? There's no aveira, there's no chait, there's no guilt associated with that kind of tumah. It's just a spiritual reality, metaphysical reality. But we know the tradition, the Gemara is in Erechin, Chazal, Rashi quotes, many of them attribute all sorts of sins to being the spiritual cause of tzara'as, and of course in particular, attention is given to speaking Lashon Hara. But if that's the case, if tzara'as is not an innocuous, you will, or a spiritually neutral type of tumah, but a punitive one, one which reflects sin and chait and guilt, so why of all of the terms that is used would Adam, this highest form of man's calling, be used at that time? A lot of answers are given to this question, but for our purposes I want to briefly mention just two. One answer is brought based on a different Maimar Chazal, also about the word Adam. Chazal, in a number of places, have the following statement, which in and of itself is quite striking, and to some extent it can be a shock to the, at least to the modern ear, but not even the modern ear. Over the centuries, this has caused us many problems, and that is the statement of Chazal that Atem Kriim Adam, Ve'ein Akum Kriim Adam. The Jewish people are considered Adam, and no other people are considered Adam. There are actual stories throughout history of various government officials over the years, you know, hauling in rabbis or threatening blood libels or pogroms based on their knowledge of this particular Maimar Chazal. It seems so chauvinistic, it seems so terrible. Only you are human, we're subhuman. What kind of statement is that? And it's a Gemara, it's a Maimar Chazal that was brought out in various famous disputations. Apostates who knew a little Gemara would share this with the church or other such people. And perhaps the most famous explanation to this Chazal, offered in the name of various different Rabbanim over the centuries, is to make the following insight. There are a number of ways, as we mentioned already before, in the Hebrew language, in Tanakh, to say a human being, or even a mankind, a man. Ish, Gever, Enosh. Unlike those, Adam is the only one which has no plural conjugation. There is only Adam. There's no form of that in the plural. And the suggestion is given that the Chazal are highlighting the fact that Atem Kriim Adam has nothing to do with dignity. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, all human beings, Jew and non-Jew, are created in God's image, have basic dignity. The Gemara is not contradicting that. Chas V'Shalom. What it's saying is Atem Kriim Adam, the Jewish people have a unique indivisibility, an Achtus. The entire Jewish people is Adam, is one. You can't make that into the plural. It's all singular, we're all one. And that is not true about other nations of the world, whatever patriotism or loyalty they have to each other. It's simply not on the level, certainly not metaphysically, that unites the Jewish people. If that's the case, getting back to our Parsha, so some Farshim explain, the Torah here uses the word Atem, uses Adam in the context of Tzara'as in an ironic sense. In the sense that, as Chazal say in a number of the Midrashim and the Mamarim about Lashon Hara, the Lashon Hara comes, it has its most potent effect on sowing seeds of divisiveness in the people. That's why, for example, Chazal explain why the Metzora is banished further in the Machane than even other types of Tumah. Because just like he or she, through their Lashon Hara, divided people and created Machlokes, so therefore they have to be alone. Badad Yeshev. What this idea, I think, highlights, so relevant to us in Yeshiva, is the importance of Achdus, of togetherness, of having a Chevra. Ish Chevera Yomar Chazak. The idea that when you're with people, you have common goals, common values, then the whole becomes greater than some of its parts. I don't know, each of us, whether we're Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, whatever program we're in, what we've all gained by being in a yeshiva, by being in a Beis Medrash, having a Kol Torah, having friends, even if we're not talking to them about our inner struggles, but just seeing them in the Beis Medrash, seeing how well they're doing, motivates us. Sometimes they speak to us, we confide in them. But just having that Chevra, that's there together, whatever you've learned in the last few months in this Zman, quantitatively, I am sure, and qualitatively, it's simply not the same as if you'd been just in a base medrash somewhere by yourself, in a library by yourself. Torah is meant to be learned with a chevra, with a chavrusa, and Lashon Hara is the exact opposite of that. And one of the lessons that we can get from this opening pasuk of Adam is not only to avoid it because it's so poisonous, but through learning the lessons of what not to do, it underscores how important a chevr is, what it means to come together, whether it's at a chulin and chizuk, or just to be aware that you're not alone. You're in this with other people. We're all pulling for each other to grow, each of us in our own way and our own level. And I want to just spend a few more minutes to share one last idea with you, which I really, really love. And it comes from the Sefer Limudei Nisan. Limudei Nisan is a fantastic Sefer. I highly recommend it. Two volumes. It was a Perush al HaTorah compiled of the ideas from Rav Nissen Alpert, Zatzal. Nissen Alpert was widely considered the Talmud Mufak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. The somewhat later stage of his life, he actually died relatively young. He died in close proximity to Rav Moshe. He was much younger than Rav Moshe, but they died very close to each other in a certain poetic, painful poetry. But actually, at some point, after he had already learned many years with Rav Moshe, he actually became the founding Rosh Kolel LeDayanos, as they call it in YU, the Kolel LeHorah in YU, the Yud-Yud Kolel. Rav Nissen Alpert was for many years a Rebbe in YU before he passed away. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a big Dayan, but he was also a tremendous Baldarshan, the beautiful Perush al HaTorah. So in his Sefer Limudei Nisan, he has the following insight. He says, Adam, in the context of Tzara'as, is meant to talk about man at his greatest, at his heights, as the Mefarshim quote from the Zohar and other sources. So what's it doing here with the person who speaks Lashon Hara and does all these terrible Averos? Says Rav Nissen Alpert, Adam here is conditional. Maybe the person who speaks Lashon Hara will be an Adam. What is it conditioned on? What he does after he sees the Nega. What he does after he's aware that he's really committed that sin. Lashon Hara is one of those sins which, as we unfortunately all know, you're almost not even aware you're doing it. That's how unfortunately ubiquitous it is. But if you got a Nega, are you going to be an Adam or not? So says Rav Nissen Alpert, that depends on what comes next. More important than whether you spoke Lashon Hara or not is whether you actually admit that mistake and do whatever you can to try to fix it. To admit a mistake, to have to admit that mistake or show it to a Kohen, to someone else, an authority figure, says Rav Nissen Alpert, that is not an easy thing. There are a million different Yetzer Haras which would have us kind of ignore that, keep it to ourselves, somehow, you know, we'll worry about it on Yom Kippur. But with a Negav Tzaras, you couldn't do that. And he suggests so beautifully, perhaps that's what's being alluded to by the choice of the word V'huva El HaKohen. It actually doesn't make any sense. Why is it passive? It should be active, and he will go to the Kohen to show him the Negav. Why V'huva El HaKohen? So he says, Al Pidrush, but I think it's kind of a drush, it's very close to pshat. He says, because it's so difficult. You know what that would have to be like to go to Aaron HaKohen to show him this Nega, to have to admit that you had been speaking Lashon Hara? So he says, it's almost as if you had to be dragged there, V'huva. But therein lies the greatness. That a person is willing to do that, willing to admit their mistake, willing to admit to someone else, an authority figure like an Aaron HaKohen, that itself is part of the greatness. Now, what did he do with the Kohen? What was the purpose of the Kohen? So says Rav Nissen Alpert, and we'll conclude in a minute. He says, the simple pshat of the psukim is that the Kohen is looking to see the color, the hair, all the different complicated reasons why we love Tazri Metzora every year. Right? What exactly, you know, Mesechus Nagayim. I heard that's what the Kol Gavoa is doing next year. Anyway, I'm just kidding. To scare anyone away from applying. Anyway, so not only are they looking at to see whether it's a nega or not, but says of Nissen Alpert, a big chiddush, that was almost secondary. The real important thing they're doing is acting like a Rebbe, a spiritual counselor, talking to the person, well, what did you do wrong? why is it that you got saras? How can we fix that? To have that communication, to share that with someone, that's not easy, says Ibn Albert. But if you do it, if you're Huva al Kohen, then you're an Adam. And I think the lesson for us, I think, is very, very critical, because the truth of the matter is that we may not have tzaras anymore, and maybe not Rabbi Kiviger, and maybe we don't know why. But one thing we do have is we have imperfection. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. And whether it's with our Rebbeim in the context of yeshiva, or with Rebbeim outside of yeshiva, or just without Rebbeim, but the key, I know it's cliche, but it's so true, and it comes through in this pasuk. The key is not whether we make mistakes or not, because we know we're all going to do that. The key is what we do next. And it's so easy either to ignore it, or the other yetzahara is to get down on ourselves. The hardest thing to do is to admit it and to do what's necessary to fix it. Maybe with taras it required going to Kohen, and maybe with some of the things that you guys are struggling with or sometimes fail at, maybe it requires and should involve something comparable, speaking to a Rebbe, speaking to an older Chavrusa, a Madrich, some kind of a mentor. Or maybe it has nothing to do with going to someone else, it's just looking inside yourself. But either way, the ability to not be perfect, because who can do that, but to fix your mistakes and confront them, that's really where true greatness lies. So when you look back at all that you've accomplished over this Zman, you should be proud of all the good things, but you should also have the courage and use that strength and that pride to be willing to confront the areas where maybe you weren't as good as you should have been. And think about how you can even be better next Zman. Ben Azmanim is a challenge for everybody. Hopefully you'll have a meaningful, productive Ben Azmanim, and maybe there'll be things that you fall short on. So be an Adam. Have the courage, have greatness to confront that, to admit your mistakes, to learn from them, and constantly strive to do better and better. That, in the context of the chevra that we spoke about, in yeshiva with your friends, with people who share your values, that's what yeshiva is all about. That's what being a ben yeshiva is all about. Cherish these years, cherish this experience, and please God, you should all go mechayel el chayel. Thank you very much.